The search for survivors off Long Beach is over. A May 9th Baron crash followed buzzing, and the solar storms of Cycle 24 are coming. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, May 20th, 2009. The search for victims in Monday afternoon's mid-air collision over the Pacific off the California coast was called off yesterday afternoon. The U.S. Coast Guard says the mission has been reclassified as a recovery effort, and underwater teams will attempt to locate the wreckage and bodies in water up to 115 feet deep off Long Beach. The Los Angeles Times cites FAA's Ian Greger in reporting the collision involved a Cessna 172 carrying an unidentified flight instructor and student. The other pilot was a Cessna 310 twin, thought to have been occupied only by its pilot and owner, 53-year-old Gary Gierzak of Los Alamitos, a husband and father of two. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating and says both planes had taken off from Long Beach Airport. The underwater search will involve personnel from the Coast Guard, L.A. County Sheriff and City and County Fire Departments, and the Long Beach FD. The NTSB has confirmed reports by witnesses on the ground that a Beech Baron A-55, which crashed May 9th near Minden, Nevada, had just completed two or three low passes over a work party involving friends of the passengers. Witnesses say the last pass was just above local houses, was followed by a sudden steep climbing turn, and ended with a nose-down impact, with no audible evidence of engine problems throughout the fatal maneuver. The pilot had reportedly taken four friends from the work party for a ride. All five on board the plane were killed. The official report of probable cause can be expected from the board in about a year. The Hubble Space Telescope was released from its berth in the cargo bay of the shuttle Atlantis at 8:57 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday morning. While repairs and upgrades didn't go exactly as planned, mission managers are confident the orbiting observatory, which has now seen its last shuttle visit, is good to go for at least another 5 years. The rest of the day was focused on the scheduled inspection of Atlantis' heat shield, searching for any potential damage from orbital debris. The crew's sleep schedule is being adjusted now to allow taking advantage of an early landing opportunity at Kennedy Space Center on Friday, before the sea breeze adversely affects landing conditions later in the day. The activity on the sun, which can produce significant electromagnetic disturbances on Earth, rises and falls in cycles averaging about 11 years. Peaks in solar activity bring unpredictable worldwide communications anomalies. Power grid managers brace for magnetic storms, which can sometimes cause catastrophic damage. NASA's Solar Terrestrial Relations Observatory, or STEREO, has detected an upswing in solar activity, which appears to confirm the start of solar cycle 24. On May 5th, the STEREO B craft observed a Type 2 radio burst and a bright, fast coronal mass ejection from the far side of the sun. That region rotated to become visible from Earth on May 8th. While scientists believe the new cycle will be relatively mild, some of the most severe storms can occur during down seasons, just as they can with hurricanes. NOAA scientist Doug Biesecker notes the strongest solar storm on record occurred in 1859, during a below-average cycle. It overloaded telegraph wires, causing fires in North America and Europe, and sent readings of Earth's magnetic field soaring. It also produced northern lights so bright that people read newspapers by them. The A and B STEREO probes were launched in 2006 and will allow NASA to gather data from the upcoming cycle that would have been unimaginable in the past. Up next on ANN, Alaska Airlines pilots have a new 4-year contract. So do Southwest Airlines flight attendants. And a Skyhawk lands safely after colliding with a golf ball. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 20th. I'm Paul Plack. The pilots of Alaska Airlines have voted to approve a new four-year contract. Of the 95% of pilots who voted, 84% of them cast a yes ballot. The terms are retroactive to April 1st. Alaska's 1,455 pilots will get pay increases, new retirement options for current employees, and work rules that provide increased flexibility for pilots and improved productivity for the airline. The company's defined benefit pension plan will be closed to pilots hired after ratification, reducing retirement funding risk. Pilots hired post-ratification will instead participate in a 401k program. Pilots get the same performance incentive program as the airline's non-union employees, executives, dispatchers, and flight attendants, and will share equitably in healthcare costs. Speaking of past sacrifices, Bill Shivers, chairman of the Alaska Master Executive Council, observes, quote, "While this contract doesn't restore everything, it does provide increases in pay and improvements in our work schedule and retirement flexibility while allowing our company to remain poised for success. We believe this is a positive step toward repairing the relationship between this pilot group and our management so that we can work together to achieve a company culture where everyone succeeds and prospers together." Unquote. The pilot's last contract, awarded by an arbitrator in May of 2005, cut pilot pay by 21% to 35%. 9,700 flight attendants at Southwest Airlines have ratified a new four-year deal with their airline. The FAs are represented by the Transport Workers Union Local 556. Negotiators settled on terms in March. The new contract will expire May 31, 2012. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly noted, quote, "Our flight attendants play such an important role in providing the legendary service that our customers have come to expect. I commend the negotiations teams for delivering a contract that benefits our outstanding employees and also demonstrates a commitment to sustain our financial strength in an increasingly tough economy." Unquote. Former FAA Administrator Jane Garvey is leading an FAA team which has reopened contract talks with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, a turn of events which seemed unimaginable before last November's U.S. general election. Under the Bush administration, the FAA had responded to an impasse in talks by imposing its so-called last best offer. The FAA called it a contract. That definition was never accepted by the union. Even before his Senate confirmation, U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood promised a return to the bargaining table would be a priority of the new administration. The talks are described as expedited and will continue through next month, but don't expect to hear too much about them till they're over. Mediators have dictated that the talks will remain confidential. The FAA has confirmed reports that a Cessna 172 incurred damage to a wing after being hit by a golf ball Sunday while on final approach to runway 28 left at Port Columbus International Airport in Ohio. The aircraft landed safely, there were no injuries, and damage to the wing was described as minor. It's not clear the golfer responsible for the drive even realized what happened to his ball. Considering the incident occurred after sunset at 9:30 p.m. local time, he may still be looking for that ball. Still ahead, Aspen Avionics establishes a beachhead in Europe. The first Chinese A320 makes its first flight. And meet the lady behind the Miracle on the Hudson. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
we're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, May 20th. I'm Paul Plack. Aspen Avionics, which has created a very popular line of retrofit glass instruments for legacy cockpits, has announced the first European certification of its EFD-1000 primary flight display for the Cessna 206 series. The STC was developed by Avionics Integration and Engineering Corporation of Switzerland for qualified EASA Part 145 organizations. Aspen Marketing VP Doug Kane commented, quote, "The European market continues to be very important to Aspen. We're actively working with our European dealers and EASA-certified design organizations to assure prompt availability of a broad range of STCs for our customers in EASA member countries," unquote. The first Airbus A320 assembled in China had a successful first flight yesterday. The plane departed Tianjin International Airport for a 4-hour, 14-minute test flight. Fernando Alonso, a senior VP with Airbus, answered the world's obvious question. Quote, "This A320 assembled in China unquestionably demonstrated the same quality and performance as those assembled and delivered in Hamburg or Toulouse," unquote. This first Chinese A320 will be delivered to Dragon Aviation Leasing in June and will be operated by Sichuan Airlines. Chinese customers have ordered more than 700 aircraft from Airbus, the majority of them A320s. The production rate at the Chinese plant is scheduled to hit 4 per month by the end of 2011. Back when the airlines started imposing all those new a la carte fees last year for services which had previously been considered part of a basic fare, some thought a customer rebellion would follow. Research done by the airlines suggested we'd get over our outrage, and apparently those researchers were right. USA Today reports passenger satisfaction with airlines has risen for the first time in 6 years, according to the American Customer Satisfaction Index, which randomly surveys thousands of consumers across the U.S. The major U.S. airlines scored 64%. That was up 3.2 points from a year earlier. The bad news? The airline business is still one of the lowest scoring of all business sectors and remains rated well below its all-time high approval rating of 72% earned in 1994. By comparison, full-service restaurants have a current score of 84%, 20 points higher than the airlines. The worst news? Even that 64 may not stand. Klaes Fornell, professor of business at the University of Michigan and founder of the index, says a big reason for the improved perception was less crowded flights, as would-be travelers were kept home by the recession. With more cuts in available airline seats coming, the Air Transport Association has warned that flights this summer will be very crowded. And finally today, much of the public attention surrounding January's miracle on the Hudson has passed, but a very significant loose end is just now being wrapped up. The passengers of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 are finally getting their personal stuff back. The New York Times reports doorbells have been ringing, and items from both carry-on and checked bags packed in fabric softener sheets are being returned. Investigators needed to dry out all the belongings that were saturated during the ditching so that the plane's original weight and balance numbers could be calculated. That drying out took 4 months. One item returned to passenger Tracy Walsko is particularly poignant. It's an Our Lady of Lourdes medallion her husband bought her at St. Patrick's Cathedral to help her get past her fear of flying. Still nestled inside its black velvet bag, the medallion's inscription reads, "Protect my flight." And here, all this time, we were crediting Sully. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, roles for women in aviation and some advice from getting there from aviation instructor, mechanic, and author Bridget Dorimeyer. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.